you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And it's my extreme pleasure to welcome to the program, he is the Sultan Kanish, and his website is Daniel Greenfield, danielgreenfield.org, and really encourage you to get over there. Lots of great articles that are up there, and of course he also writes for Front Page Magazine. And I want to welcome Daniel Greenfield to the program. Daniel, welcome. Great to have you, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
And let me see. Sameach Hanukkah. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Well, man, it would be happy, except for we've got a Nazi collaborator, a human experimenter, and an Iranian tech tycoon that are pulling the strings for the Democratic Party. And, you know, one of the strings they pulled is what led to 6 deaths, 40 injuries, and people being mowed down at a Christmas parade. Talk to me about what you've uncovered and what we need to know about who these people are.
So we often wonder what goes on behind the scenes. Take, for example, the 2020 election. You have these various local groups seemingly popping up. Where are they coming from? Where's the funding coming from? And you get, for example, the Never Trumpers. You've got a variety of organizations that are just operating over the map. So there's something called the 60-30 Fund. This is the largest dark money machine in America. It raised about $400 million for the 2020 election. It plowed about $400 million into the 2020 election. Now, it didn't do this under its own name because it's a dark money machine, which means that you have donors anonymously giving money to it, and then it equally anonymously funds various organizations. So, for example, you would have Floridians for a Fair Economy and various other seemingly local groups that were trying to influence people. Now, in between the two of those is the 1630 Fund, and where was the money from the 1630 Fund coming from? Well, it came, about half the money came from only 4 donors. Because it's dark money, we don't know exactly who the donors are, but a political article named 3 major billionaires who had contributed a lot of money to it. They're George Soros. A number of people probably know who George Soros is. One of the wealthiest men in America, made his money in finance, former Nazi collaborator, has his own views as to how society should be transformed, repeatedly compared himself to God. Then you've got Hanjoch Wyss, who is the richest man in Switzerland. He's not a United States citizen. He's not even a legal resident. He lives here on an E2 investor visa. And despite that, he's pumped over $100 million into these various ventures to transform America. And then you've got Pierre Omidyar. He's the founder of eBay, richest man in Hawaii, radical leftist, was born to wealthy Iranian students in France, lives here, and doesn't like America very much either. He's got a project to transform capitalism. So between the two of them, you've got these 3 foreign billionaires who are funding this transformation of America, and they're doing it using anonymous measures. They're doing it covertly. They're not putting their own names on it because they know their names are toxic.
You know, it's interesting when I think about this, because we had the big argument about Citizens United, right? And Citizens United was essentially about protecting the privacy and the identity of those that give. The left, in this instance, has no problem using dark money. Yet, on the right, if anybody is giving, I mean, look what happened to, what was his name? Eichmann, I think it was, the Mozilla founder. You know, remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, Brandon Eich.
Brandon Eich, yeah.
He's on Brave now. He's got the Brave browser. I suggest people check it out. He's building a Brave search engine, but yes.
Yeah, well, and he was the guy that built Mozilla, And for a $1,000 contribution to a pro-marriage campaign in California, he was essentially voted off of his board. They've doxed a number of individuals. Remember, under the Trump, when Trump was in office, they were going after individuals. If they went out in the D.C. area to dine, they were attacking them in the restaurant at their tables. Talk to me about the about this, you know, because they say that they want Citizens United repealed. They say that they don't want dark money to happen. But you outline in your article that, you know, even in spite of that rhetoric, if you will, they don't seem to have any problem getting dark money and using dark money.
I would also mention the recent case of a police officer who donated, I think, $25 or $35 to Kyle Rittenhouse's defense, who was fired over it. So this sort of thing goes on all the time. They're engaging in an ambitious project to go after people over the donations, to go after companies over the donations. But the thing to remember about the left is there's no consistent standard, and for conservatives, this is often bewildering, because we still think in terms of equality under the law. We tend to think in terms of, okay, these are the rules you want. These rules now then also have to apply to you. But the thing is, these rules never apply to the left. They're only meant to apply to their political enemies, to everybody else. The point of being on the left is that the rules do not apply to you. So we saw this last year. Everybody was supposed to stay indoors. Nobody's allowed to go outside. There were a few protests calling for reopening. Those people were arrested. The protests themselves were banned. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a few months later, you have the Black Lives Matter riots, and suddenly mass protests are completely okay. So the rules never apply to the left. The left is built around dark money. Their whole empire is built on dark money. It's built on the wealth taken from billionaires like these. It's also built on stolen foundations. One of their big original funding specialties was either having their own foundations or hijacking and taking over foundations, some from wealthy conservatives, and using those foundations to fund their various projects. So their whole thing is big money. Without big money, the left would not exist. Their entire project was built on big money, but of course they inveigh against big money because they want to ban donations to conservatives to their political opponents. They want to have two sets of rules. They always want to have two sets of rules.
Did you mention January 6th?
I don't believe so.
Because, I mean, when you stop and think about, right, you know, they called that an insurrection when, you know, there was no one that was armed. There was, you know, there were a few that seemed to be, you know, acting violently. Although the more we find out, we're finding out that there's a lot of things behind that that were hidden. But the reason I bring it up, Daniel, is that it in relationship to what you talked about, you know, buildings being burnt down, people being killed, city blocks literally being taken over, and individuals declaring that the area that they have taken over is no longer a part of the United States of America. I mean, and all of those things need funding, and these are the guys that fund that stuff. I mean, what they were doing in Portland to the federal building, trying to literally burn a federal building down. These are the guys that are funding the people that are there. Am I speaking out of turn when I say that?
Yeah, I mean, you have the White House, State House being set on fire. They would have been happy to set fire to the White House itself, but the British did if they could have gotten to it. And more recently, we've had environmental protesters, I believe Extinction Rebellion, which is an environmentalist group that recently called for terrorist attacks, storming the federal buildings in D.C., and that, of course, is completely okay. So you have double standards on riots, just as you have double standards on everything else. If you are fighting with police officers and you're occupying a federal building, it's completely okay if you're doing it for the good cause. And, of course, it's a violent insurrection if you're doing it for a cause they don't agree with. So, again, there's always two sets of rules with the left. There's never one set of rules.
It's really absolutely crazy what's going on with regards to this funding issue. And I'm glad that you've taken the time to help folks to understand it by breaking down where the money's coming from and who the money is well, in many instances, who the money is going to. One of the other things that Soros is doing that I know you've been tracking is the buying up and inserting these radical district attorneys, like the one in Wisconsin that was directly responsible using their radical bail reform for the fact that Daryl Brooks was out with $1,000 cash bail and was able to commit the crime that he committed. And it's obvious based on the social media that this was somebody that had a great deal of hate and in fact felt, that these white oppressors, I guess, deserved to be attacked. Talk to me about his efforts to overtake and insert district attorneys and what that is doing relative to the lawlessness that we're seeing in these liberal cities.
George Charles is a very smart investor. He looked around at elections and noticed, you have VA races. There's hardly any investment in them. You can invest a little money and you can buy yourself a bunch of VAs, which is exactly what he did. Republicans have still been totally counter this. He managed to insert a bunch of his VAs. Now, what these VAs believe in is so-called criminal justice reform. Now, criminal justice reform, for the most part, means letting criminals go. It means not enforcing the law. It's not just George Soros. So Soros was the biggest funder. But, for example, out here in California, we've got Reed Hastings, who is the CEO of Netflix, another billionaire. If you're subscribing to Netflix, you're funding this sort of thing. So he put in his DAs here, and these DAs don't actually believe in enforcing the law. They believe in not enforcing the law. Now, as a practical matter, what this means...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back right after this brief break. Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S. based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Thank you for tuning into Chosen Generation. Chosen Generation is about equipping, encouraging, and challenging this generation to engage culture and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our city, county, state, and nation to be the Christian influence and light that we have been called to be. Pastor Greg is committed to seeing God's life-changing power work in you. If you need prayer today or have a question, you can reach us at 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. If your church or group would like to have Pastor Greg come and share his passion to raise up a chosen generation, he is available to bring that same life-changing message and anointing to your event. Again, that number is 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. Give us a call and keep on listening, because you are God's chosen generation.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. My special guest is Daniel Greenfield, and very pleased to have Daniel here on the program with us. And we want to get back into what you were talking about when we went into the break, Daniel, relative to the DA situation, and you were continuing along that. Let you go ahead and jump into that, and then I'd like to talk about what we talked about a little bit in the break, because I think you made a very good point relative to these charges that they're trying to bring, and again, the double standard, the legal hypocrisy that exists when it comes to what the liberals do versus what they will allow, you know, really for people who are just expressing their constitutional rights. Go ahead, please.
So with criminal justice reform, the whole premise of this is that the system is unfair, especially unfair to poor people, to minorities. But for example, in California, it's not just in California, what they did was basically legalize stealing anything under $950. Mm-hmm. If you shoplift under $950, you are basically going to not actually remotely face any kind of real charges. So that means porch piracy, it means shoplifting of all kinds was legalized. As you probably know, pharmacies over here in California are closing. Now here's the practical implication of that. It means if you steal from a small business, you're fine. What you're doing is okay. But as we saw recently around Black Friday, the people started looting luxury boutiques. If you loot Louis Vuitton, if you go into Burberry, then you're stealing more than $950, and suddenly the police come down on you. Which means criminal justice reform, what it actually did was legalize stealing from the poor and criminalize stealing from the rich. This is cartoonishly exactly the kind of oppressive class-based system that they claim to oppose. This is what criminal justice reform actually did. It protects the rich, to protect their luxury boutique. So in Chicago, when they actually looted the luxury boutique, the mayor came down, Mayor Lightfoot came down and said, we will not tolerate this. In San Francisco, the mayor came down and said, we will not tolerate this. You're stealing thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. That is not acceptable. You're only allowed to steal $950. So when they go and they break into the small Korean grocery, which they do routinely, or they rob a neighborhood pharmacy, that is fine. You're stealing under $950. You steal somebody's packages from the porch, you're stealing their Christmas presents, that's fine, that's under $950. But you go and you steal something expensive from the rich, that is a crime. And this is criminal justice reform. It's enacted in the name of social justice, of making things better, of helping minorities and the poor. In practice, it does the opposite. It is a cruel act, it is a corrupt act, and what it actually does is protect the people who fund this, the wealthy left. While at the same time punishing the middle class and the working class.
It really is absolutely lunacy when you stop and think about what it is that they are allowing to happen. We were talking in the break about the January 6th case, and one of the attorneys in the case was saying, look, my client is not going to be able to get a fair trial in the D.C. area because the District of Columbia and its residency seems to have an aversion to traditional values. The judge didn't like the argument, but the judge did concede that, yeah, you're right, there is a dramatic difference between DC values and the values of many, many other states and communities across the country. And so when you're promised a jurist trial, and the jury is supposed to be made up of peer members, it's going to be pretty difficult to find peer members in DC. And then we went on to talking about the charges, And the novel charge they're doing is obstructing an official proceeding. And you had some thoughts with regards to that that I thought were very interesting to bring forward. Please share that with my audience.
You know, obstructing official proceeding has been pretty constant. The left named itself the resistance and spent 4 years trying to obstruct official proceeding. I mean, we all saw the circus around the Kavanaugh hearing. You had people, leftist protesters, actually got into the room and made a point of disrupting it, including movie star Alyssa Milano, I believe. Mm-hmm. So this is how the left protests. It's how they've protested for a while. They prided themselves on going in and disrupting a sort of official proceedings, occupying federal buildings. I mean, they recently, you had environmental protesters, I think with Extinction Rebellion, which actually called for terrorist attacks recently, occupying federal buildings. And this was under the Biden administration. So this is something the left does all the time. They walk into meetings, they obstruct those meetings, and this is considered praiseworthy.
And of course, you know, here we had a situation where many of these individuals were invited into the Capitol. We have video evidence. Tucker Carlson has a variety of video evidence under his three-part documentary, Patriot Purge, where, you know, one of the individuals who just got 41 months was actually walking around and he was being escorted based on the video by one of the Capitol Police members. The double standards of this are crazy. And I don't know, you are an investigative journalist. Are there charges? Have they caught and charged people who were burning down buildings? Even let's go back to Ferguson. Let's go back to the riots that took place back under the Obama administration. Is anyone really serving any time relative to that you're aware of?
So one of the big differences, obviously, is that the media and their sort of leftist allies crowdsource trying to identify the people who are part of the Capitol riot, and they're still doing that. When it came to Black Lives Matter, there was absolutely none of that going on. The media showed absolutely no interest in identifying, naming, and shaming those people, with a handful of exceptions once they were already arrested, which was the two lawyers who actually were throwing Molotov cocktails in New York. They were named, and of course, the media engaged in special pleading on their behalf. So the first thing is the police, law enforcement was basically inhibited. They were not provided with this kind of information. The FBI certainly was not putting up billboards everywhere because obviously the politics are different. If you're attacking the Portland courthouse, that's perfectly fine. You're doing it for a good cause. If you're engaging in protests on Capitol Hill and fighting with police officers there, well, that is absolutely unacceptable and it is an insurrection. So the priorities were different, and obviously federal justice system people understand that it's not going to be good for their careers if they prosecute those people. Attorney General Barr did issue orders. He applied some pressure, but there was limited enthusiasm for doing that. There were some prosecutions. I think probably overall there are about as many people prosecuted as with January 6th, but a big difference obviously is the huge scale. But the Black Lives Matter riots took place over months, involved far, far more people. I can't even begin to factor the scale because, again, we have limited information. We're talking about tens of billions in damages. We're probably talking about the riot parts themselves that involve tens of thousands of individuals, perhaps. I mean, this is on a much bigger scale than January 6th, and yet we probably have about the same number of people, maybe a little more, who are prosecuted. The thing to understand, of course, is in the final eventuality, the vast majority of those people pleaded out. The vast majority of those people got a slap on the wrist. So when federal justice system people are incentivized, because this is very much a career trap, so when they're incentivized to pursue charges, then they will try to at least throw the book, at least for public consumption. What actually ends up happening might be different, but they will go through the process because it's good for their career. So, you know, you have Martha Stewart being accused of something, being accused of insider trading, and suddenly we need to go after this, even though, I mean, on a practical level, there's virtually little reason to think that Martha Stewart is a priority. She's not a major criminal. You had celebrities who were getting their kids into the USC.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds left. Just to give you an example, folks, there's an article, a CNN article, The woman who burned down the Wendy's in Atlanta, remember that one, the arson? $10,000 bond, Daniel. A $10,000 bond, and she was ordered to remain under house arrest with an ankle monitor. That's a far cry from throwing people into a gulag, which is what's happened to most of the January 6th people. Back with more tomorrow, on Monday. Folks, we'll have a great program for you on Monday. Want to encourage you to be tuned into that. And Daniel, we thank you for being with us. Don't forget to get over to danielgreenfield.org to check out his latest articles.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his.
Hey everyone, I'm Maria Bear, writer and co-host of Breakpoint This Week, your weekly conversation on news and culture from a Christian worldview perspective. I'm inviting you to join me and John Stone Street each weekend right here on this station for a 30-minute look through what's happening in our world and how we as Christians should respond with truth and love together.